Hi, this is Steve Chandler. People I talk to are always looking for more energy. They have this long list of things that they think they need to get done, and they say, boy, I wish I had more energy. What can I do for more energy? What foods can I eat that give energy? What exercise can I do? How can I have more energy? I wish I had more energy for my day. And they look in all these different places for energy because they have so much to do. Now, one of the things that's beautiful about the concept of purpose is that purpose actually produces energy, and it's one of the great things about it. So let's look at that. When I was a little boy, I used to go swimming with friends, and I remember a couple of times playing around in the pool, one of my friends would hold me underwater and just kind of playing around, hold me down there underwater for a little while just to scare me and just to have some fun and make my heart race. Well, I never had so much energy as when that happened. I mean, I wasn't distracted by anything other than the fight to get up above water. That was it. I wasn't worried about when I'd have to go to bed that night. I wasn't thinking about a thousand things. I was simply focused on getting up above the water. And I read a lot of accounts, and I've seen some documentaries and even fictional movies made about people who break out of prison, an impossible prison. It's just impossible to get out of this prison. And yet, day and night, they plan, they think. If you've seen The Shawshank Redemption, for example, amazing things happen when people wake up with their purpose, a singular purpose, and throughout the day, that purpose is with them, so they see things from that purpose. And they're able to ask, how could I use this? What's good about that? What's useful here, based on what I'm up to? It's also one of the ways, when you have purpose driving your life versus personality driving your life, when you have purpose driving your life, it's a way of converting bad news into useful news. Other people, when bad news, and I'm putting bad news in quotes here because we don't really know if it's bad until years later, but other people who get bad news allow themselves to slide down the ladder and be in a bad mood and be kind of disheartened and discouraged and not feeling so great. That's what bad news does to them. But if you're up to something, if you're in the middle of creating something and some news comes in, you're able to ask, given what I'm up to in life, how can I use this? Given what I'm up to in life, how can I use this? And it's a beautiful example, it's a beautiful use of this thing called purpose, or what am I up to in life? What am I up to? So let's really appreciate purpose. Let's really appreciate when those prisoners wake up in the morning and they look around, everything they see and everyone they talk to, they filter in through, how do I break out of this place? Or how does that help me with the plan I've got going on to break out? Because that's all they're thinking about. That's what they're focused on, is breaking out, breaking free. And being up to something in life gives us energy and makes us enjoy life. So I recommend it highly that the distinction is in you forever, that you really know the difference, how it feels to be living from purpose versus from personality, which is completely different, fraudulent, fraught with problems. Personality can only be wounded and disrespected, and it's an everlasting fight to win appreciation of others. That's what living from personality does. But living from purpose, what other people say, no longer that important unless I can use it to fulfill my purpose. So that's something that I want everybody who works with me to really get clear on. When you're up to something, energy flows into you. And when you're focused on who you think you are, your personality, energy flows away from you and you're weakened and everything else looks powerful in the face of your personality. Other people look like they have all the money and all the power. Institutions look overwhelmingly powerful. Health problems look like they could take you down. Everything looks frightening when I'm living from my personality. You know, we read a lot of amazing stories about people who become more and more and more successful and accomplished and creative even as their life moves forward, no matter what age they are. People like Clint Eastwood or people like Frank Lloyd Wright who really start to blossom in their 70s and 80s because they've been on this curve of purpose that keeps eliminating what's not important and keeps dropping things off, and they become ever more focused and creative as they move forward. There's a quote in the book Fearless, and it's by the great ballet director George Balanchine. And he says, quote, "I've got more energy now than when I was younger because I know exactly what I want to do," end quote. He has more energy now because he knows exactly what he wants to do. And when he was younger, like so many of us, had so many things we were trying to do and thinking about doing and trying to decide to do, that the energy was just robbed by all these distractions and by being scattered. That's why I love the old saying, winners focus, losers spray. And that's really true. So this sense of purpose floods me with energy, single-minded energy. And it's really a beautiful thing. There's another chapter in Fearless that a lot of people have asked me about, and they think it's like my tribute to old age or something, because it's about Harry Bernstein, who was 93 years old, and his wife had just died of leukemia, and he was sad, and he didn't know whether to go on, because his purpose prior to then was sort of taking care of her and being with her and making sure she was all right. So all of a sudden, 93 years old, a man's purpose drops out from under him and he wakes up. There's no more energy. That's depression. He's depressed. What's the use? Why bother? Why go on? That's the whole concept of depression, is I'm up to nothing. There's nothing I'm enthused about or excited about. So now the focus is back on my personality, me, my feelings, how I'm feeling about this and what I think about that and my sadness about that and my remorse and my regret. I regret that I didn't do that. And so it just becomes a total narcissistic self-focus. And every time I do that, more energy goes out of me and I get more depressed. And really, what happened to Harry Bernstein, and I talk about it in the book in chapter 18, is that he did something unusual. And we don't know quite what inspired him. Some form of spirit just got into him, and he decided to do something illogical. He grieved, but he decided to do it differently. He decided to take this energy and convert it with a high sense of purpose. And what he did was he sat down and decided, I'm going to write about my life. So many things have occurred in my life, so many fascinating things. I'm going to create. I'm going to create a book that other people can read that's all about the excitement, the sadness, all the amazing things that can happen to a human being who's 93 years old, who's lived such a full, interesting life. I'm going to create it. I'm going to create my life one more time, and this time, I'm going to create it as a book that would give other people great pleasure. So the guy's 93. He's not 20 years old and learning to be an author and making connections with people and getting on a social network and finding out who good agents are. I mean, most people waste 90% of their day trying to find other people to connect to who will make them successful. I mean, it's just a sad scattering of intellectual power and imagination with the false idea that I've got to know someone else who's powerful who will pull me up into the ranks of power. It's just really absolutely ridiculous. But what Harry Bernstein did is what anyone can do, what all of us can do, even if we're 18 years old. We don't have to wait until we're 93. We can have a purpose. We don't have to focus on our personality. We can have a purpose, and the purpose can drive us. So Harry wrote, and he wrote, and he wrote, and he wrote this book, and it was such an amazing book when he was finished that it got published. I mean, first of all, he didn't get any response, and I know that feeling. I remember some of my earlier books and sending around, even a recent book that ended up selling really well. Publishers saying, no, it's not your kind of thing. No, your readers don't want that. And so I know the feeling, and it's quite all right because you just move on. But what, I mean, at 93, there's not all that much time to move on, but he did. And so he finally found a publisher. After all the New York publishers rejected his work, he sent it to the London office of Random House. And it sat there for over a year. And then it came across the desk of an editor by the name of Kate Elton, who read his book and said, it was unputdownable. That was her word. Unputdownable. And I mean, that's really what happens when you're working from a central purpose and all that enthusiasm. And he poured it onto paper. I mean, he woke up with his purpose. And he lived with his purpose. Just like the guys breaking out of prison. Just like me rising to the surface of the pool in the water, there was nothing but that purpose. And it came with him. He woke up with it in the morning. He took it with him. He let it be what his day was about. Not that he was obsessed and fanatical and ruled out other people, because purpose can be more gentle than that. It can be just a very sweet presence that you wake up with in the morning, that you bring with you. And it's a friend to you. It never leaves. It's not something that you try to remember what it is or try to find out what it is. It's there with you. And so that's what happened to Harry Bernstein. And his book was printed and it came out and it became very, very popular. And here he was inspiring us at the age of 93. And yet this can happen for anybody at any age. Now, my alternative to living from my purpose to being up to something big and fun and exciting and enthusiastic for me, my alternative to that is to live based on my personality. And when I live based on my personality, my whole world is about hurt feeling. That's really it. That's my life. My daughter hurt my feelings when she didn't call me on my birthday. You hurt my feelings when you didn't answer my email. And it's all about hurt feelings because it's all about my personality that I'm trying to hold together. This thing I think is me that can be hurt and can be bothered and disrespected and unappreciated. Unappreciated. And so when people live from this personality and not from their purpose, no longer is life creative and no longer is life fun. When they live from purpose, they're like Fats Domino walking to New Orleans. I remember when I was a teenager listening to him rollicking and singing, I'm walking to New Orleans. And I just thought, wow, how simple that life is. That's what he's doing. He's walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans. And so that's it. That's how it works. That is what purpose is. I'm walking to New Orleans. And so the other side of that, the dark side, the flip side, is my personality. That's my choice. I can live based on my personality. And then when I have all these hurt feelings based on my personality, I then try to change other people so they won't hurt my feelings. I mean, I project it out. I imagine that other people need to be changed. It's not really true. They're just fine the way they are, but I don't know that. I think, you need to change, he needs to change, my son needs to change, my spouse, my partner, everybody needs to change for me to be happy. And there's something really important here. Wanting other people to change is insane. That's something that I always want to remember. Wanting other people to change is insane. Wanting myself to change is the ultimate in mental health, in good mental health. Healthy mental approach is having change be about me changing so that I can better flow toward my purpose. So why would I want to change? Well, I'm up to something, and the way I'm behaving or the way I'm spending my precious imagination and mental energy is not taking me on the path to that at the moment. It's not going there. And so what can I change in me? I'll sit down with my coach and I'll say, here's what I'm up to. Here's where I'm stuck. Great. So are you willing to change and practice something that you're not used to practicing so it becomes second nature to you? Yeah, sure, because I'm up to something big. Okay, let's work on that. And so now I'll practice something. It was amazing to watch the career of Larry Bird, because really, he didn't have anything that you would call athleticism or any kind of natural gifts that we say other people have. Truth is, nobody really has a lot of that. It's just practice in disguise. But Larry really didn't. I mean, he was rather slow. He wasn't overly strong. There was just nothing about him that you would say, well, you know, you will be a great basketball player. But he was willing to do various forms of practice. And his purpose was so simple and so friendly to him. And he would wake up with it. So when he found that other people could guard him because he was right-handed, he would practice dribbling with his left hand, and that deliberate practice that he did would allow him to actually develop something in himself that was stronger than the right hand. And so now people guarding Larry Bird didn't know which way he was going to go, because it was almost as if he made himself ambidextrous. And why did he do that? Well, he had a purpose he woke up with, and that was to be the most effective basketball player he could be. And it followed him, it was with him, but he kept it simple so he was able to still relate to people in a gentle, loving way, and there was no kind of fanaticism about it. It was just that nothing distracted it, nothing pulled him, he didn't have to second guess, he just kept doing that and finding different ways to practice that would have him be better. That's because when he woke up, he was up to something. Now, most people, recently, we saw on the sidelines of a pro football game, one of the players of the local pro football team was screaming at his coach. I mean, he's just losing it, yelling at his coach, and the coach was telling him to knock it off, and yelling back at the offensive coordinator and throwing a tantrum. Now, this tantrum is a result of over-focus on the personality. I'm being disrespected. You hurt my feelings when you don't put me in and let me run a play and you put someone else in. I'm being disrespected. How do I look on national television when I sit out two plays that are important to the team? How am I coming across? How am I looking? I'm being disrespected. Stop dissing me. And so that's an over-focus on personality. That's living from one's personality instead of from one's purpose. When I have a purpose, something can happen that other people think is tragic. So Harry Bernstein's wife dies. Everyone says, how sad. Oh my gosh, your life partner for life. You'll go into a terrible depression and nothing but grief. And he instead created a purpose out of that. I will use the loss of my wife, this brief sense of deep grief, I will ride that and use it for an even higher purpose. And in her honor and in her name, I'll create this book for the whole world to read. And so other players not sent into the game, there was another player on the same team who for almost the whole season wasn't put in. He used it for his higher purpose. I will rest. I'll save my strength. I will learn. I will train, I will work out, I will be so ready when they do put me in that my purpose will be fulfilled, and that is to make a real difference on the field. So staying out of the game will be something I will use, whereas when you're living from personality, being put out of the game is something that hurts your feelings. So there's two ways to live: purpose versus personality.